On behalf of all of the illustrious devotees of Sri Radha Gopinath Temple and our most revered, beloved founder Acharya, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we would like to welcome everyone assembled . An obvious question that may be in devotees' minds is, what business do we have having a festival for the new year? Because actually, according to our Vaishnava calendar, this is not even the new year. Gaur Purnima is the new year. So what does this have to do with any spiritual reality? So before beginning our program, I'd like to say, for your information, we are not in any way, shape or form celebrating the new year. We are celebrating the glories of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, which are ever fresh and ever new, every moment of every day for all of eternity. However, because the rest of the world is so much emphasizing this particular event that is coming up, not only the new year, but a new millennium, that by materialistic standards of calendar calculations only happens once in every 1,000 years. Some people were thinking that this is the only time we'll ever be able to celebrate such an event. And devotees are hoping and praying that is the only time we have to see such an event. Because our goal is not to remain attached to this material world, but to be wherever the Supreme Personality of Godhead desires us to render service. Because the world is celebrating in such a big, big way through all sorts of nefarious and sinful activities, it is the duty of Vaishnava to counteract the karmic conditions of the materialistic people by spiritualizing the environment through hearing the glories of Krishna and assembling together to loudly chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. And we also want to give all of you a good excuse to have a previous commitment, so that you do not get somehow or other influenced to go to others, different types of events. But actually, in Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada said, every day is a festival. So, why not? We were asked by some devotees to speak to the entirety of Srimad Bhagavatam in the next few days. And given we only have about an hour every night, how is this possible? And what an injustice it is to the Bhagavatam for me to say anything about it. What to speak of rushing through? So I was thinking that Maharaj Parikshit, he heard Bhagavatam for 7 days from Sukadeva Goswami. But that was not an ordinary 7 days. That speaking was going on all day and all night. There was no eating, there was no sleeping for anyone. And we have brought in best quality cooks from Vrindavan. Vrijabasi Goswamis to cook the most sumptuous feasts every night. So how can we try to compare ourselves to Maharaj Parikshit and Sukadeva? And we want to end early every evening because the prasad is the main attraction, actually. After Maharaj Parikshit heard Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days, when he was about to ascend to the spiritual world, his mother Uttara personally appealed to him that, "My dear son, please tell me the essence of what you heard." He had very small amount of time. So he summarized the essence of what he learned from the Srimad Bhagavatam in a very nutshell form. And by the mercy of our parampara, Srila Sanatana Goswami has given a book which explains exactly what Parikshit Maharaj told his mother. The essence of the Bhagavatam, the essence of all scripture, and the most important subjects that we must contemplate and realize in our life. And it is called the Srimad Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is now being translated by one of our very, very dear God brothers, Gopi Paranadana Prabhu. So we do have enough time to speak part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita in the next few days. It is divided into two parts. The first section explains Narada Muni's search to find who is receiving the greatest mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the second part describes a Brijabasi born near Govardhan Hill of the name Gopakumar and his search for the highest realization of the Absolute Truth. In the next few days, we'd like to speak something from Srila Sanatana Goswami's narration of the first part of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Please listen very carefully, because this is not just a story. This is a history, which our acharyas consider to be the concise summary study of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. What you are about to hear is not just some nectar to enjoy, but what you are going to hear is a resident of the highest planet of the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. He has descended this world to teach us through this book how to realize the very essence of all knowledge and how to enter into the eternal lila of Lord Sri Krishna. We would like to first offer our most prostrated obeisances to our Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, by whose causeless mercy we have received entrance into the divine grace of all of the great acharyas of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. and to Srila Sanatana Goswamiji and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan who have kindly left for us the very basis of all spiritual knowledge through their literatures. Narottam Das Thakur prayed that without the mercy of the six Goswamis, one cannot enter into the transcendental loving affairs of Vrindavan. So Sanatana Goswami begins with Mangala Charana. First, he praises all glories to Lord Sri Hari, who lives in the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan, enjoying eternally with the Brijavasis. But he personally descends into this material world of birth and death for only one reason, ultimately, to give the gift of ecstatic prema bhakti to anyone and everyone who is willing to accept it. In this age of Kali Yuga, he appears as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna trying to experience a sweetness of love that he has never tasted, the love of the gopis, Srimati Radharani, and to distribute that love to the world. In the next verse, all glories to the gopis of Vrindavan, headed by Sri Radhika Rani, for they are the dearmost, topmost of all devotees of the Lord. They have attracted Krishna by their infinite love, and therefore they are supremely worshipable by all living beings. Then he offers his obeisances and glorification to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has descended with a beautiful golden complexion and accepted the renounced order of life, especially to somehow or other experience and realize the nectar of devotion and to distribute that devotion to all. He then offers his glorification to Mathura. Mathura is greatest of holy places. Other holy places in India and abroad in the world, it is promised in the scriptures that by going there you can attain liberation from all sins and sufferings. But Mathura Devi promises not liberation, but Krishna Prema, the ultimate form of liberation, pure unalloyed love of God. It was in Mathura that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared within this world and performed innumerable transcendental pastimes. all glories to Vrindavan Dham. Sri Vrindavan Dham is super excellent in its transcendental nature. It is millions and billions unlimitedly greater than even any of the Vaikuntha planets, because it is the place where Raghunuga Bhakti is manifested. There, Krishna, in his relationships with his devotees, excels all the reverential worship of the lower planets of the spiritual world. There Krishna is eternally acting as a simple cowherd boy, giving ultimate pleasure to the gopas and gopis. And it is only in Vrindavan that the ecstatic nectar of Krishna's transcendental flute can be heard. He next offers obeisances and glorifications to River Jamuna. whose transcendental qualities excels even the holy river Ganges, because she carries the nectar of the lotus feet of Krishna to anyone who worships her. All glories to Sri Govardhan, Giriraj, the king of all mountains. Even the greatest of the mountains of Himalayas, Sumeru, Meru, Gandhamadana, they all worship Govardhan as their king. Because it is Govardhan alone that is acclaimed by the acharyas and the gopis themselves as the greatest of all devotees of Lord Hari. Krishna cancelled the worship of the king of the demigods, Indra, to get everyone to center all their attention on worshipping the hill Govardhan. And then to show his great love for this great mountain, Krishna personally lifted it for 7 days with the palm of his lotus hand, to show the world that he will always protect the loving sentiments of his devotees. Sanatana Goswami then praises the glories of Krishna Prema, pure unalloyed love for Krishna, as the ultimate perfection of life. Krishna Prema comprises all the spiritual truths of all the great scriptures of the world. Even Mukti worships love of God as her maidservant. Next, Sanatana Goswami glorifies the holy name of Lord Murari. In this age of Kali Yuga, the holy name is the Yuga Dharma. All the opulence, all the sweetness, all the power, all the mercy of Krishna is contained within his name. And the name is available to everyone, anyone, anywhere, at any time. Even the lowest of the dog eaters, by caste consideration, can attain a position by mercy of Krishna, of being greater than the greatest of Brahmins, can be the spiritual master of the entire universe if he even once offenselessly chants the holy names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare!
Śrīla Sanātana Goswāmī claims that the holy name of Krishna is the greatest source of the ultimate pleasure. And he claims it is my only ornament in life. Sanatana Goswami says, the holy name is my only ornament. This should be our goal. We decorate ourselves with so many types of ornaments, and we become so much attached to those ornaments. But to Sanatana Goswami, this is the only ornament. Kaviraj Goswami explains, with this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnana, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Put it on the string of the holy name. Wear it always as your one and only ornament. That which you value most as the most priceless thing in your life. Because as you approach the holy name, that's how the holy name will reciprocate accordingly. If we take our chanting of the holy name to be just something that we're supposed to do in a ritualistic way, then we will get very little benefit. But if we treasure within our hearts the opportunity to take the name as the most priceless gift of God, Golokera Premadara Harinam Sankirtan. The holy name of the Lord has descended from the spiritual world for you. And yet we're too busy. We think we have something more important to do. Just playing around with the temporary sources of misery of this material world. Here is a gift that is imported. If something in India is imported from America, it's considered very valuable. Or if it is imported from Japan, we take, oh, this is very priceless. But Golokera Premadan, Harinam Sankirtan, the holy name is imported from the highest realm of spiritual existence, Goloka Vrindavan. And it's being given to you. The only cost is your faith in its value and your willingness to make the top priority of your life to chant with full attention. Sanatana Goswami then bows down to Lord Sri Krishna Chandra, who appears in this age of Kali Yuga as the most munificent and merciful of all incarnations, because he has come to give the ecstatic love of Krishna, of the Brijabasis, to all through the chanting of Krishna. This book, Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, collects the essence from all the scriptures which deal with devotional service. Sanatana Goswami explains that he has understood and realized the treasure of this narration because he has completely taken shelter of his worshipable Lord, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he has received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya through the grace of Srila Rupa Goswami. This is a sublime statement, because Sanatana Goswami is the spiritual master of Srila Rupa Goswami. But yet, in his great humility, he is honestly and sincerely revealing what is in his heart. Although Rupa Goswami worships Sanatana Goswami as his guru, Sanatana Goswami believes that he has received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Sri Sri Radha and Krishna through the grace of Sri Rupa Goswami. This is the intimacy and the exchange of love between devotees. And unless we understand the qualities of a true Vaishnava, we can never ever understand Krishna. What we are going to hear for the next days from Brihad Bhagavatamrita specifically emphasizes the nature of a real devotee's heart. And as we hear it with submissive oral reception, we should pray that our heart will become transformed and deeply influenced by the mood of devotion of these great personalities. Sanatana Goswami offers an appeal to all of you. May all Vaishnavas kindly hear this Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita with great attention. It begins where Maharaj Janamejaya, the son of King Parikshit, has just heard the entirety of Mahabharata from Jaimini Rishi. Sanatana Goswami explains that even Vyasadeva in Mahabharata tells us that there are other versions of Mahabharata. Today, in this particular planet, the only Mahabharata that we have available is Vedavyasa's. However, Sanatana Goswami, being a Nitya Siddha Paramhamsa, he has access to all information from all places. And he's explaining how Vedavyas, he spoke Mahabharata in such a way that Krishna is not really so prominent. When he does enter the scene, he's prominent, but he doesn't enter the scene all that much. And it deals a lot with artha, kama, dhamma, moksha. How to achieve the goals of economic development, sense gratification, religiosity, and liberation. And Krishna prema is intertwined within it. But only if we hear from very, very high acharyas can we find it there. Because it is explained in Mahabharata itself that it is especially written for uncultured, uncivilized type people. Hare Krishna, which really includes everyone in Kali Yuga. Kalo Shudra Sambhave. Everyone is born lower than Shudra, at the best, in Kali Yuga. Unless we're trained and educated to higher standards. A Brahmin is not by birth, a Brahmin is by quality. As is a Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. But Jaimini Rishi, he explained Mahabharata, where the main thrust and emphasis is the ecstatic love and devotion between the Pandavas and others and Krishna. Krishna is prominent. Pure devotional service is prominent. And just as the Harivamsa is the supplementary literature explaining the essence of Mahabharata of Vyasadeva, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is the essence of Jaimini Rishi's Mahabharata, as well as the essence of Srimad Bhagavat. So after hearing whole Mahabharata, Maharaj Janamejaya was very, very ecstatic and eager to hear more. He said, please tell me more. Please go higher. Please tell me the very essence of all scriptures. Jaimini Rishi began his narration. He explains Maharaj Parikshit. Let us go a little into the background. You know, in Mahabharata, it explains how the Pandavas spent their last year in exile in the kingdom of Maharaj Virata. And the daughter, whose name was Uttara, by the arrangement of Arjuna, married his son, Abhimanyu. She was the princess. Arjuna didn't feel it was right to marry her because he was her dance teacher. Yes? So Abhimanyu married Uttara, a very chaste and pure devotee of the Lord. During the battle of Kurukshetra, her beloved husband was killed. It was a tragic event. Abhimanyu was the son of Subhadra, the Yogamaya potency of Krishna, an expansion of Srimati Radharani, with her husband Arjuna. His son was in the womb of Uttara. Ashvatthama, to avenge the death of his father, Dronacharya, was so very angry that he killed Dhrishtadyumna. He killed the five small sons of Draupadi when they were sleeping. But he still wasn't satisfied, because there was still one last surviving heir of the Pandavas dynasty. Abhimanyu killed, the five sons of Draupadi killed, Ghatotkacha, the son of Bhima, he gave his own life. Parikshit Maharaj was residing within the womb of his mother. Ashvatthama sent Brahmastra, the most powerful of all astral weapons. The Brahmastra has the power to destroy entire planets, but it has the accuracy where it could kill the child in the womb with causing no pain to the mother. When Uttara saw that Brahmastra is coming right to my son in his womb, in her womb, she cried out to Krishna to save her child, knowing to him to be the grandson of Arjuna, the grandson of Krishna's sister. It is an eternal truth that when a devotee cries out to Krishna to pray for our welfare, Krishna will save us. Kaliya, asuric, demoniac rascal. Krishna was dancing on his head and he was about to kill that murderer. Kaliya was a murderer. He murdered so many people with his poison. But his wives, the Nagapatnis, they prayed to Krishna, please give him bhakti. Save him, protect him. Krishna cannot refuse the prayers of his devotees. That is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays that, O Vaishnava, I am just a dog, kukura, a dog running behind you, begging you, please be merciful to me. So Uttara prayed, and Krishna entered directly into the womb. And it is explained that the Brahmastra already killed Parikshit Maharaj. But Krishna gave him another body and brought him back to life. But he saw the darshan of the Lord within the womb of his mother. Therefore, when he came out of the womb, he was not attracted to anything of this world. Parandrisva nivartite. When you see Krishna, what can attract you of this world? His love awakened when an embryo in the womb of mother, and therefore his only thought throughout his life was how to serve Krishna, how to please Krishna, how to love Krishna. When he was a little boy, he didn't play cricket. He had deities. His only play was worshipping the deities, making offerings, making garlands. He didn't talk all nonsense things like little children usually talk. He only wanted to hear Krishna's glories. And he was constantly chanting Krishna's holy name.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Before the Pandavas, renounced all material connections to this world and went to Himalayas as Vanaprastas, they coronated Parikshit as king. He ruled the world in perfect God realization. He even challenged Kali himself because he had all the power of God behind him, and Kali had to surrender. But it was time for Kali Yuga's influence to come into this world. When Kali was trying to beat the cow and the bull, Parikshit was about to slay him. But then Kali surrendered. So he gave him several places where he could be king. Wherever there is gambling, wherever there is slaughter of animals or eating of meat, wherever there is illicit sex, wherever there is the taking of unnecessary intoxications, Kali said, as long as you're king, impossible. No one can do these things. Everyone's a devotee. You must give me some place. Wherever there is greed for the selfish purpose of hoarding gold or wealth, that is where you can raise havoc. Illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating, and greed for gold. Wherever this exists, there will be quarrel and hypocrisy. So it was the time for Kali to begin. Because after all, the most munificent and merciful of all incarnations, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appears in Kali Yuga to give love of God to everyone and anyone freely. So actually, we're very grateful to Kali. The greatest sages and rishis, it describes in Srimad Bhagavatam, they worship Kali Yuga as the best of all ages. Because in Kali, Mahaprabhu appears. And in Kali, Kali Kale Namarupe Krishnavatar, Kaler Dosani De Rajan Asti Heka Mahanguna, Kirtaner Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramraje. There is one benediction in this age of faults, that simply chanting the holy names one can achieve the perfection of liberation. Parikshit Maharaj, by the inconceivable yoga maya potency of the Lord, made a little mistake and put that little dead snake garland on Samik Rishi. And Sringi, his son, cursed him to die in 7 days. But what a devotee Maharaj Parikshit was. Only 7 days to live. He didn't counter curse. He didn't try to find some remedy. He accepted it as Krishna's causeless mercy. He detached himself from his throne, from his family, from his wealth. He went to the river Ganges and prayed to the sages, please tell me, what is the ultimate purpose of life? What should I be meditating on? What should I hear about? What should I chant about? What is the duty of a man about to die? Because he was such a noble and pure soul, the great rishis and sages from all over the universe came to be with him. And the great son of Srila Vedavyas, Shukadev Goswami, was unanimously chosen to speak. Maharaj Parikshit heard for 7 days Srimad Bhagavatam.
which is considered to be the essence of all Vedic literatures. It is the Paramhamsa Samhita. It is the literature that is especially meant for those who are Paramhamsas, and for those who are not, to make them Paramhamsas.
Dharma prochita kaita patra paramaniramat sananam shatam.
From the very beginning, Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out all cheating religions. That means anything that propagates any other ideal except pure, unalloyed, unconditional devotional service, utter surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. Because any other religious system that teaches anything else cannot bring you to the spiritual world.
Srimad Bhagavatam culminates with the love of Krishna in Vrindavan, with gopis, gopas, and ultimately Sri Radharani, his eternal pleasure-giving potency.
After hearing Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days from Sukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit was fearless of death. He was totally absorbed in ecstatic love for Krishna. He was just waiting for that most auspicious moment when the snake bird would bite him and send him back to Godhead.
Sukadeva Goswami, after finished completing Bhagavatam, he left.
It was at that time that Uttara, the daughter of Maharaj Virata, approached her beloved son, her only son. She was a widow, no husband, and her only son was going to die in a matter of minutes.
As a soft-hearted and loving mother, she was aggrieved. But Parikshit Maharaj, with great compassion, consoled her.
Uttara was a great devotee. Her eagerness to hear the glories of Krishna eclipsed her distress that her son was about to die. She requested Parikshit Maharaj, "My dear beloved son, please, please give me a favor. Describe to me in essence what you learned from Srila Sukadeva Goswami."
Parikshit Maharaj said to his mother that at this time, my last moments of life, I should be silently meditating on Krishna.
But because you're so eager to hear, I am eager to speak the glories of Sri Krishna.
Then he began his narration. Once, first he offered his prayers and obeisances to Lord Achyuta, the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all rasas, or loving emotions, and the protector of his devotees. Then he offered his obeisances and prayers to his Guru Maharaj, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, who has extracted the essence of all divine realizations and presented it in the most systematic and pure form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then he prayed for the mercy of Sukadeva Goswami that he could, with all humility at his command, repeat his message.